Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
And we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we've already gone through three messages, so I'm going to let you have this, Heidi. So if you want to listen up until where we're at, which would help you catch up, we've been laying a foundation on what that means. To be born of immortal seed. And we get that thought right here in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. And it says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we see that very thought there, that we've been born again of incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. And we're talking about that and what that actually means. You know, there's a lot of people that have the idea that because I'm born again, that means I get to go to heaven when I die, which is actually very true. You do get to go to heaven when you die, but there's a whole lot more to your Christianity than just going to heaven when you're done, because you still have to live a life here. And as much as the Lord wants you to be in heaven, which is true, and he does, and you will if you're born again, if you have the seed of Christ in you, heaven, being born again isn't just getting into heaven. Being born again is heaven getting into you. Does that make sense? Because your nature changes. That's the reason why you get into heaven. There'll be nobody in heaven that isn't born again because they don't have the nature of God. They would feel out of place. They would be out of place. They would be trying to do things that nobody else was willing or wanted to do. That's why Satan got booted. You see that? He got kicked out because he decided he was going to do something outside of what God's plan was. Well, in order to be in a family, you have to be born into the family. Does that make sense? So in the kingdom of God, it's the same. Now, I'm a McFarland. I look like a McFarland, and I act like one, even though sometimes I shouldn't. But I do, and it's because I was born in the family. If you saw my mom and you saw my dad, you'd go, that's his mom and that's his dad. Because I was born into that family. Well, what happened when you were born again is you received God's nature in you. And that's what Peter is saying right here. Now, you can't just take my word for it. You got to take the Bible. Okay, so I'm going to read it again. 1 Peter 1:23, it says, having been born again, and actually that statement could be born from above, not of corruptible seed. That word in the Amplified, seed, could also mean sperm. It has to do with DNA, okay? It has to do with genetics. All right? Not of corruptible seed, but what? Incorruptible. What does that mean? It cannot die. If you're born of incorruptible seed, can you die? Now, half the people, because some people weren't here, so I understand. People are thinking, yeah, my parents passed away, and no, their bodies died. They didn't. You're a spirit, and you live in a body. Remember we gave the illustration about the, and maybe we need to go back and look at this. Yeah, let's just do it this way. This will be easier. Turn in your Bible over to, Second Peter. So to your right, just a few pages. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read this to you in the Amplified, verse 13, all right? I'm going to explain to you that you're a spirit and you live in a body, okay? And I don't have time to go into detail on this because I got some other things I want to get to this morning, but this will help you. It says, 2 Peter 1:13 says, I think it right, and this is Peter speaking, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and right next to it, it says tent or body, to stir you up by way of remembrance, since I know that the laying aside of this body of mine will come speedily, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. What does Peter call his body? A tent. Peter does not refer to his body as himself. And for those of you that were here, I had my hand in a glove. As long as my hand's in the glove can do something. But the moment I take my hand out of the glove, no longer can the glove do anything. It is useless. That is the same way it is with your body. You are not your body. You are living inside your body. And that's what Peter is revealing to us. Now, I could go to other scriptures here where the Apostle Paul said the same thing. There are like four or five different scriptures that we could go to, but I just don't have time to go to them, including where Jesus hung on the cross and he said to the Father, I commit my spirit to you. When they took Jesus' body off the cross, they didn't take Jesus off the cross. They just took his body off the cross. His spirit was committed to the Lord. Does that make sense? His spirit went on and paid the price for sin. Well, this is what Peter's saying here. He's saying, look, I'm going to leave my body. I'm going to make an escape. And who revealed to him when he was going to leave? The Lord did. Think about this. Not his circumstances, not whether he was in jail or not, not however many times he got beat up for being a Christian, not his neighbor who was crazy. No. Who revealed it to him? The Lord did. You say, why is that important? We need to hear from the Lord when we're going to leave. Yeah. You know, after a long, satisfied life. But you, if you have Christ in you, will never see death, because your spirit is immortal, born of immortal seed. So what does that look like? Well, the thought is kind of like a sword inside of a sheath, or a dagger inside of a sheath. The dagger goes inside the sheath, but the sheath is not the dagger. It just goes around it. So you will slip out of your body and go right to be with the Lord. Your angel will probably be standing there. Hey, you want to go? Yeah, let's go. What do you want to see on the way? Let's go by the Milky Way. Yeah. This is more real than Peter Pan. You understand? Yes. Okay. All right. So you're born of immortal seed. We looked at that. We looked at the explanation of salvation, what it means, that it is the impartation of God's life to you. And then we looked at seed. What seed is. Do you remember that? We looked at a beet. Do you have those? Can you grab my bag there? I wasn't planning on doing this, but it'll be... Can you just... Yeah. Thank you.
You're
so helpful. Okay. So we looked at... What do we got first? Just pop one up there. Oh, yeah. Tricolor pole beans. They come in green, yellow, and purple. But what we looked at was this. See, normally I'd be able to use both hands, but okay. This is why they invented headset mics. What we looked at was this. How do we know what's in this seed? That's what's in this seed. Does this look like that? No. But we know from the packaging, from the picture, from the information on the back of the package, how to plant the seed, how the seed should grow, how to water the seed, and then we know by the picture what the seed should look like. So if we planted this and this came and this didn't come out, we know we got something wrong. Well, do you know there's a lot of people that have Christ planted in them, but what he is not coming out? It's not. Because they just think, yeah, I get to go to heaven when I die. Well, let's have a little bit of heaven on earth. Jesus said to pray what? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's an awesome prayer, and a lot of it was fulfilled when Jesus was crucified and buried and raised from the dead, and then you received him because the will of heaven was implanted inside of you. You were born of immortal seed. So we have pictures with natural seeds, and they show us what we, when we plant a seed, what should come up afterwards. Well, do we have pictures of immortal seed? Yeah, we do. It's in the Bible. What we are to look like is found in the scripture. But it comes from a place of a new nature, not from a place of these are the do's and don'ts that we don't and do and don't and do. Does that make sense? So let's look at that. Let's look at part of that this morning. Let's go to First Thessalonians 2. First Thessalonians 2, verse 13. And I'm going to show you how we're going to access this divine seed inside of us and cause some growth to begin to happen. Some change. How many want change in their life? All right, let's pray real quick. I'm going to pray, and you agree with me. And then we'll go right into this. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, as we approach the main part of what you want to say today, God, I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Have your way. We're open in our hearts to receive from you. We agree together for words that will be clear and bold and strong and full of your power and your grace. Lord, say through me what you want to say. Give me understanding and illustration that will help people see and understand what it is that you have for them in this immortal seed, in what they've received inside of them, the nature and the life of Christ within us, the power of the resurrection resident inside of us. Help me explain it, Lord. I yield the gift that you've placed in me to pastor to you, and I ask that you speak through me in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, let's expect here. First Thessalonians 2:13 says this. And this is, if you want to write this down, I think I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to go over it again. It says, the word of God works for those who believe it. That's the point that I'm going to make here. The word of God works for those who believe it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you received the message of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men, but as it truly is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who what? Believe. Now listen to the Amplified. It says, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. Does the word work for everybody? No. It only works for those who believe. Now, the good news is you can believe. You can choose to believe. You know, faith is a choice. You decide, I'm going to believe this and not accept this. Yeah? All right? So it works for those who believe. It has superhuman power that works for those who adhere to it, trusts in it, in him, and relies on him. So if you have this, if you have divine immortal seed on the inside of you, how will it be activated? By your believing it. You've got to trust. Yeah, Lord. See, now this is interesting because, and people do this, different denominations will do it, and I understand that a lot of times it's just ignorance. And we've all done things ignorantly. I know I have lots of times. But people share the message of the gospel and talk about faith for being born again, and then they just drop off faith after that. They act like the rest of the Bible doesn't even exist. Or they pick the parts that they like or are comfortable with. Do you know we're not allowed to do that? If Jesus is your Lord, you're not? If Romans 10, 9, and 10 is true and John 3, 16 is true, how do we decide that some other parts aren't? It either is or it isn't. All right, let me put it to you like this. How many have had, I'm going to say this, and so I don't want to stir up a bunch of emotion, but it'll make the illustration hit home. How many have had a relationship with somebody and it was building and building and building? And then, and they were, these people were trustworthy people, and it was going, the relationship was going good. And then they do something that is not honest or untrustworthy. Does it not make you question everything? So it's no different in your trust of the Lord. If the enemy can get you, plant a lie in you, get a lie to you that God does this, but he doesn't do this anymore, it will throw you off in your faith. There, in James, it talks about staggering or being double-minded. So we need to put our trust in the Lord, and that's why we did like part of that series on there's no higher authority than the Bible. I don't care if it's the Pope. There is no higher authority than the Bible. The Bible is the highest authority on the planet and outside of it, period. God is it. That's the peak. That's the pinnacle. I don't just follow everything I hear preached. I go back to the Bible. Because there's a whole lot of people that want you to not believe what's in the Bible. And they're Christians. Yeah. This is just the truth. But it takes effort to do that. But what happens, and my point here is this, is that in order for something to work for you, you have to trust. You have to believe. And you can trust the Lord. And what he did is he got the whole trust issue out of the way right away by just go ahead and giving his son his most precious gift that he possibly could for you right off the bat so you'd never question his love for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He only had one son. But he loved you so much, he was willing to give up that son to get you back. So that's trustworthy. So you can trust this word. So, and that's what Paul is telling the Thessalonians here. Look, guys, if you want the word to work for you, you've got to believe it. It works for those who believe. And in your believing that word, it turns on superhuman. You know, I used to watch Superman as a kid, and I think, oh, that'd be cool. Shoot lasers out of your eyes, man. I could cook toast. I wouldn't even have to plug the toaster in. I could cook anything. I could blow on stuff and freeze it instantly. There's something in humanity that believes in supernatural things. It's just that way. And the world will tell you, oh, it's just imagination and stuff like that. No, eternity is in the heart of man. I am not saying that when we get to heaven, we'll be able to shoot lasers out of our eyes or freeze things with our breath. But I am saying this. The supernatural is very real. Very real. And there are two influences constantly happening in the earth. And one is from the Lord, and one is from the devil. And Adam and Eve let the devil in. So we need to recognize and understand those. So the word of God is that influence on God's side. And as we believe it, it opens the door for his ability to function in your life. And so, being born of immortal seed, you want that immortality to work in you now. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Verse number 17. And I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. This is actually the scripture that we got for the church. Ephesians is just to the right of Galatians. Galatians is just to the right of 2 Corinthians. Verse number 17, Ephesians 3, verse 17 says this. And I'm going to read the New King James, and then I'll read the Passion Translation. It'll make sense to you. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now listen to this in the Passion. In verse 17, it says this: then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Don't you love that? Then by what? Constantly using your faith. Okay, let me put it to you like this. If you're a mechanic, you constantly use your wrenches. I'm a painter. I constantly use a paintbrush, a roller, a sprayer. I'm constantly using those things. Well, as a Christian, what am I supposed to be doing? Constantly using my faith. And as I do that, what takes place? The immortal seed inside of me is released. Does that make sense? And now we're going to get into this because it's exciting when we get over into Galatians and we start to see what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, there's a whole lot more to the immortal seed than the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is such a foundation, because unity and love have to be present inside of a body of a church and Christians at home in order for the rest of the magnificent, miraculous things, as far as the power of God goes and the demonstration of the Spirit goes, in order for them to succeed, grow, and stay. The enemy is constantly looking to divide over ridiculous things. I mean, there are times where things have happened in my life and the Lord said, you need to separate from this. And he just told me, do it. And there's a time to do that. But it's rare. It's really rare. The Lord, how many know the Lord is super patient? I mean, we don't know how patient. I mean, he is patient. He's so patient. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And he left 2,000 years ago. Yeah, he's patient. He just, everything just slows way down with him. So if you ever get impatient, just think, the Lord's being patient with me. Relax. But in order for God to do certain things in our lives and for us to experience a deeper relationship with him, we have to understand this and walk in it. We have to. God, just like parents don't give irresponsible children tons of power and tons of money. You don't do that. My kid is 16, never listens to me. Just got his driver's license, though. What'd you get him? Corvette. Brand new Corvette. Never listens to me. Kid never listens to me. How many speeding tickets has he had? No, that's irresponsible. Well, God is much more responsible. And he waits for us to develop to the point. How many have ever had a promise of God and you heard from the Lord in your life? And you know you have certain things that are coming to you that he's spoken to you, or you have things on your heart that you want to do, but yet it hasn't come to pass yet. This could be one of the reasons that we're going to move into right here. This could be it. We have not seen, and I know for me personally, we have not seen certain things in our lives that are promises clearly spelled out in the Bible, very simply because this, immaturity doesn't get them. And so as a church, as we continue to move forward, life in Christ is the tagline. It's the point of what we're doing. But that life has to be understood and then walked in. And as that takes place, then the Lord will move us up and up and up as far as influence, not only individually, but then corporately. Because there's no sense in a lot of the power of God and things coming to pass in a place if it's just going to be tore apart by the devil in a half a week. Does that make sense? God wants to give us, his desire is that we enjoy life and life more abundantly. And he has given us, and I'll say this about him, he is blessing us as far as he possibly can. Right now, he is doing everything he can to get into your life and bless you in every way possible. But the more we cooperate with him and the more we grow spiritually, then he can do more. Because he knows you're going to take and you're going to operate in a mature way in dealing with others and dealing with money and dealing with, you name it, influence, in dealing with promotion at work, in dealing with your relationship with your kids and your family. The more you are like him, the more he can give you ability to help others. Does that make sense? Now, I know this is a fun message this morning, but stick with me. You know, there are messages that you hear him and you go, man, that was awesome, and you can barely stay in your seat because it's so exciting. And then there are messages that you hear that it's like, whew, this is a little bit of weight. One, you know the Lord knows you can handle it. Two, you know that, whoa, this is awesome is coming up. That's the other thing. The start of the race is easy. Everybody's at the starting line, you know. How many ever seen a marathon before? Okay, they got the guy at the starting line, and they got their shorts, they're running, well, they don't even wear, what do they wear now? Like running tights, which should be illegal. But anyway, they're at the start of the gun, and everybody takes off when that gun goes. But mile 13 in the marathon, some of them are running sideways. You know what I mean? Ugh, it's that way, oh. Because it's harder there. But when you pass the finish line, do you feel the pain? Not usually, because you made it. And your spiritual run is a lot like that at times. It feels like, oh man, are we going to make it? Yeah, you'll make it. Just stay and continue to grow. You'll get there. It'll turn out. Amen? The end of this thing will be joy. All right, so we need to constantly use our faith. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start here and we'll hit this, and then we'll hit it for probably a few Sundays, because this is part of the divine seed. If you want to write down your next point, it's a biblical description of the seed. And the first one that I'm going to go to is the character produced by the seed. The character produced by the seed. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Now, when you hear these things, don't just think, yeah, this is what I need to do this. Okay? Don't just think, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do. I got to do this. Think, this is what I am born to do. I am not just performing an action. I am responding and acting because this is who I am. Now, this is sometimes hard for people because you're making that transition in your mind from natural thinking to spiritual thinking. But how many can raise your hand and say, when I was born again, there was definite change in my life? Okay? Four people. Good. All right, so we'll have an altar call at the end of the service. I know you're writing notes or something. Okay, so there was a definite transition that took place. Something changed on the inside of me. And what that was is immortality came to live inside of you. And then what Paul does is he goes on to talk about, and we talked about this last week, but he goes on to talk about as he moves through his teachings in Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians about what you received when you were born again. He is explaining to your natural mind what took place on the inside of you. And when you understand that, you can learn how to yield to God in you and respond out of that instead of responding naturally out of circumstance around you. Christians are not to react. They are to respond. They're to respond. Now, if you ask me, do you do this perfectly? No. No, but I'm better than I used to be. I'm a lot better than I used to be. And I'm growing and I'm developing. And this is the thing. I have to what? Constantly use my faith. People say, well, I'll just pray and it'll happen. It will not. You cannot ignore the Bible and pray. If you do, the proverb says that your prayer is an abomination. Isn't that interesting? If you ignore scripture and just like, oh, I got to pray. I love praying. I'm just going to pray this through. You can't pray through what God has given you to do. You can't bypass obedience through prayer. It doesn't work. You have to go through the process. Yeah, but it hurts. Uh-huh. And it just hurts your flesh. Your inside loves it. Because you're doing the right thing. But you're outside. How many know, how many have ever lifted weights before? Okay, I did it once. Well, I did it once. You know, I went and watched. All right, so anyway, you ever watch, this is probably a guy thing more than anything, but you ever seen like a real big guy? Something stirs in me and goes, I could do that. But then when you go to do it, the pain says, oh, no, you won't. You know it's a lot easier to play Madden on the Xbox One than to be in the NFL? Do you know, and people, you know, we live in this kind of society. We have a younger generation that comes up that way too. People have this mentality like, yeah, I won all these games on Madden. I know what I'm talking about. But then you have these players in the NFL. How much Madden do you think they actually play? Come on, they don't got time for that. They got to be in the gym because there's some other guy on the other team that's in the gym. And if they're not as strong and as fast as that guy, they're going to be taken out. You have to work and work and work and work. And we'll do this with natural things, but we'll ignore that process when it comes to spiritual things. Where do you think that process came from? From the Lord. It's His principle. The enemy has just twisted it. And I'm not saying football's of the devil. Because I like it. All right? I like sports. Actually, I think sports are a great biblical tool. They can teach a lot of things. And they're just a great tool. But anyway, how do you get to the level where you're walking or your Christianity is on a professional level? All right? You've made the big leagues. You're no longer playing video games with Jesus. You're now smacking home runs. It comes through seeing what you need to do and then constantly exercising your faith. I'm telling you guys, there is no joy like obeying the word and getting the answer without any asking anybody else to pray for you. I mean, there is liberty in that. Now, if you're at the point where you need somebody to help you, man, ask for prayer. We will pray with you. We'll use our faith. That's the point of having those that know that have walked with the Lord longer. They're to use their faith to help those who don't have as much to develop and grow. So if that's where you're at, but I'm telling you, you want to get to the point where your mom doesn't just drive you around. I'm glad I don't have to call my mom to go to work. And mom, I got to go to work. Can you come pick me up? She's like, you're 38, Sean. Get your driver's license. There's a level of freedom that comes. I know I'm using a natural example, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. There's a level of freedom that comes that wasn't there before. And you can have it. You can grow to that point. You can develop to that point. You understand what I'm saying? It's never too late. Somebody say it's never too late. Never too late. You can do it. All right? With God's help, all things are possible. All right? So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. We're going to go through these. And I'm just going to hit the first one only and probably barely. But Galatians 5:22 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit, how does fruit come? Where does fruit come from? A seed. So this is the fruit of the Spirit, and this seed lives in you. So this is the byproduct of the seed that lives in you. It is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That all lives in you right now. That all lives in you right now. Every one of those lives inside of you if you have Jesus in you. That is all the fruit. Well, I shouldn't say all. That is some of the fruit that should be coming out of you because of the undying seed that lives in you. What is heaven like? Love, joy, peace. Yeah, patience. Long-suffering. I don't think there's any suffering in heaven. That's why I question that one. But patience, for sure. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what heaven is. Heaven is self-control. Well, I can't wait to get it someday. You have it now. You are born of immortal seed. Well, how do I act on it? You see it in here, you believe it, and you act out of that rather than out of, you know, you could just do the opposite of these things and understand how the world operates. How does the world operate? Hatred, depression, unrest, impatience, not kindness. What's the opposite of that? Unkind, I guess. Crude. Cruel, yeah, cruel. Crude for sure. Not goodness, but badness. Not faithfulness. Unfaithfulness. That's not your nature anymore. Your nature is now love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what it is. Now, you can say it quick, but live it. And you say, how am I going to live it? Because immortal seed lives in you. Why do you keep saying that? Because you don't got it just because you logged it. You got it when you're doing it. That's when you know you got it. That's when you know that, okay, now this is a living thing in me. So the first one is love. Love is a strong, ardent, vehement, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. Not yourself. To someone else. Okay? Love is this. 1 Corinthians 13. These really just connect to each other. But 1 Corinthians 13. Let me say this. The fruit described here in Galatians is not meant to be abstract virtues, but made visible with actions. There should be a showing forth of the virtues of the fruit from the seed. The nature that lives in you has the ability and did and can and does and did and will and has forever conquered hell. Already. It's already done. People say, well, how do you know that? Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. When does it live in you? Now lives in you. Now lives in you. It happens now when you're born again. And part of that seed is love. And that's where and love is what? That strong, ardent, vehement, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says this, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. I could sit on that one for a while. It keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. Yeah, but they really hurt me. Well, you really should forgive them. Well, how? I don't know how. No, nope. Immortal seed lives in you. You can forgive them. Even as Christ forgave you. The Bible says that God, through Christ, he loved us and sent his son to die for us while we were yet sinners. Christ did not come to the earth and die for us when we were doing everything right. Well, I think they deserve it. They're doing good down there. Send them now. Send Jesus now. They earned it. If you could have earned it, the law would have stayed in place. You can't earn it. So he came when you were doing nothing for him and died for you when you were blaspheming him and hating him and you were evil and contrary to him, to prove his love to you. And then when you receive, when you saw that and you received him, then his nature now lives in you. And that nature is the same nature that came and died for you. So you can extend that nature to someone else. Start in your house and then move out from there. Amen. Love is, it takes no record of a wrong. Yeah, but they really hurt me. I know. And you really can be healed and you really can forgive. But it's not fair. No, no, it's not fair. This is faith. Nobody, we're not saying that it was okay that they did something that they shouldn't have to you. We're saying that bitterness or holding something against somebody is like you drinking poison hoping the other person dies. It just doesn't work. You've got to let it go. Well, how do I do that? The same way Jesus did, because his nature lives in you. You have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to take account of a wrong suffered. I'm not saying you didn't feel it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying the thought won't come back to you. What I'm saying is you're making a willful decision out of the immortal seed that lives on the inside of you to go, you know what? I forgive them and forget about that. And every time the thought comes back to you, just say that. And when you, as you do, it'll just stop coming after a while. And you'll look at the person that seriously hurt you and go, I just love them. I'm not saying you have to trust them. I'm not saying you have to hang out with them. But you won't have this ugh anymore. How many know what the ugh is? I know, it's a Greek word. Ugh, look it up. You know what I mean? You don't have to. It can just be even calmness inside you because you've got immortal seed on the inside of you that has conquered everything. And you can just be, I mean, you can be in there around them or in their presence, and you can just be at calm and at rest on the inside, not nervous about what you're going to say or not say. Just rested. Why? Because you're not looking to them for anything. You've got the joy and the peace of God on the inside of you. You're trusting your God. You can do it because of the nature that lives inside you. Stand with me, please. Boy, is that one tough? Took us a little while to get there, but I like where we ended. Don't quit on this message. See it all the way through. Well, maybe I'll preach something more fun some other time. Okay? But honestly, I've done this in my own life, guys. I've experienced some good things of the Lord in my life, but the longer that I've been in relationship with him, the more I realize how much he cares about character. He cares a lot. He cares a lot, a lot. And the more I just spend time with him and look at his word and the way he did things, and when I look at Jesus and the amount of influence that he had for the kingdom of God, and I read the letters that Paul wrote, you just see this God love flowing through them. Where everything they did was for love of God and love of people. And I believe the Bible. I believe in the good things of God, the blessings of God, whether it's financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, all those things. I believe in those things. But those things, according to 1 Corinthians, are only worth something if you're walking in love. You know, you can give all, in 1 Corinthians 13 it says, you can give all your money to the poor and it amount to nothing. Nothing. Because you didn't have love in you. You can offer, the Bible actually says you could offer your body to be burned and it can amount to nothing. Well, why would somebody do that? Because they want to be seen for what they're doing. And if we're really going to tap into what God has for our lives at home and outside of home and at work and at church and at the different places that we have influence, wherever it is, then we've got to operate from this understanding of the immortality that lives inside of us, the nature of God, not just we're going to heaven when we die, but we've received heaven into us, and now we have this divine seed inside of us that needs to be watered and tended and taken care of, and the ground needs to stay clean from the rocks of offense and those different things, and we need to allow that seed to grow up by exercising our faith, and then through us, God will get glory to His kingdom. Through us, God will be able to bring peace to our household. Does that make sense? Have you imagine what a house where a couple walked in the love of God day in and day, what would the atmosphere be like? Oh man, never just tender, kind words all the time. Never offended, never just holding grudges, just peace. I'll bet you we'd call it heaven on earth. But see, that's what God wants for you. That's what God desires for you. And we have the ability inside of us to have it. We just need to cooperate with Him. And that's what I want. So then you get homes walking in love. Then you have those people and those families coming to church and they walk in love. Come on. I mean, think about it. God is love. Love healed whole cities. When Jesus walked the earth, the Bible says He walked into different places. He just healed the whole group. Who did that? Love did that. Love did it. If you ever want to get kind of more of a picture of God on that, replace every time you read God in the New Testament and put love there instead. And my God shall supply all my needs according, and my love shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. For love so loved the world. Because God doesn't just have love, He is love. And He lives in you. You have that same love inside you. It's amazing. It is unstoppable. The Bible says love never fails. Never fails? Love has never had a failure. If you want to never have a failure, just walk in love. Just walk in the God kind of love. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. God, thank You for placing immortal seed inside of us. Lord, I ask that You continue by Your Holy Spirit to give us understanding in this area. Lord, we will press through on this. We will grow in this. We will exercise our faith in this, moving forward. And as we do, we know that fruit is going to pop up all over the place. It's going to pop up at home. It's going to pop up at work. There'll be less fighting with the kids. There'll be less fighting with parents. There'll be less family rivalries. There'll be more of the presence of God because of the love of God inside of us. Because of the nature of God inside of us. We purpose to move forward with this, Lord, fighting the good fight of faith in it. Laying hold of salvation and not letting go. Not allowing the enemy to steal this truth from us, but letting it rest deep in the heart of the soil of our hearts. And Lord, we say, You give the increase. One waters, one sows, one waters, but You give the increase. So Lord, I ask for increase, increase, increase. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Don't forget, Wednesday, 7 p.m., we have Bible study here, and then also, then again, of course, next Sunday. So, bless you. Have a great week. Take coffee when you go. There's some out there, so God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.